The reading today is from Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. And for Paul here, he's saying it's a different word. The body is good. He's saying the flesh, those parts that cause us to sin. So it's a different word here. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my many members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's his answer. Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Well, I can tell you a story that was shared by a grandfather. He talks about the observation of his beloved grandchild, and he says this: our toddler granddaughter is learning how to talk and has a wonderful way of lengthening the word no. Recently, I caught her sitting in front of an electrical outlet saying, no, 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 all the time when she was reaching her hand out to that outlet, no. And then Grandpa said another kind of no. She knew she shouldn't touch that outlet, but she was ready to do it. And we sometimes are willing to touch the outlets that lead to broken relationships and ultimately to our death. We're willing to touch them too. See, that man's granddaughter already knew the dynamics that we're reading about today in this passage from Romans. For I do not do what I want, I do the very thing I hate. We know what is right, and we do not do it. The gap between the willing and the doing, the knowing and the doing, is a universal phenomenon. And we know about this gap. It's kind of what draws us to this passage in Romans. Many of us feel like we know these words, even if we don't know that Paul wrote them or may not say it in such a convoluted way. We could have written these lines. We know the struggles of knowing what is good for us, what is good for our community, what is good for our world, clearly sensing what is ethical and moral and the correct choice, and we don't do as we should. We know the words and the actions which reflect the ways of Christ, and yet they seem to kind of be forgotten or left behind or turned our backs on in the living of daily life. How many times, it's confession, it's not a big one, have I found myself in front of the TV with a bag of chips where I was just going to take three or four, and all at once I'm doing this with the bag? Really? Just one. Or we go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, your counts are kind of high. You need to eat differently and change your exercise, or else I'm going to put you on medication. We say, oh, of course we'll do it. And we go back and we haven't done any of it? Or when do we know the right word or the right thing to do, and we just don't do it? We know we should be patient and hold back our words, and yet things just blurt out of us. I wonder if some of you are caught by how honest Paul is in this passage. I think we do know it. There is a wonderful story that is told to us. It's by Victor Hugo. Who knows what Victor Hugo wrote? Les Mis. Good to see you're brighter than you know. I just wanted to show you. The story is told that he was supposed to write in the morning every day, and he had to write every morning in every day in the morning, and yet he would find anything else to do. He would walk down the road, he would fuss in the kitchen, he would rearrange things, and he would get nothing written. And so, out of kind of desperation, he told his servant at night, "I want you to take all my clothes, because I want to not to be able to get out of my room and out of my house to write." Now, it's kind of desperate, but you get the sense he knew he could not do it, so he limited his choices so he would actually write. I rather like that story. See, Victor Hugo probably knew Paul's words. He grew up a Catholic. He knew he could not do it on his own. He knew those words, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Some of us who know something about Paul are kind of surprised by his blunt honesty here. It seems a little bit out of character. See, Paul kind of gets the bad rap of making lists of what you should act like. And we read those lists as, "Oh, these are all things I shouldn't do," and they're kind of convictions at us. I mean, saying, "Maggie, you're not doing this, this, and this, and this, and this." But I think he means those lists as a way of saying, "I need you to live in these ways, because if you live in these ways, you may reflect God's will." See, Paul knew it's really hard to live out as you should. I mean, he was trying to get this early church to live in a way that reflected God. And they probably knew what to do, but he had to tell them again, God wants something more from you. I wonder if they, like us, feel like lists and no's are a condemnation, a strictness, and what they're not supposed to be interpreted that way. They're supposed to be redemption and love. I hope more for you. I hope that you will begin to live your life this way. And so some of us are kind of shocked when we hear that Paul struggles like we do. I mean, I know what to do, and I'm convicted of what is right, and I follow the opposite. I mean, you can tell he really wrestles deeply with this, because he says the same thing about 9 times again and again. He said, "I have the best intentions. I know the law. I really know it, and I can't get my mind to convince my heart and my body to do what is right." It's kind of like he has a war going on in his body. And we can feel his desperation, his sadness, his confusion, because it's ours. Now, we don't know what particular sin he's wrestling with. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. He's not really talking about an individual act or sin, but a power that is deeper, that kind of separates us from our best selves, that separates us from God's way that he wants us to be. He's speaking more of general separation than a particular. And I kind of like that Paul confesses this, because I am much more likely to hear "you have to do better" from someone who says, "I don't do better myself." Some people say they never confess sins because they think everyone else in the congregation is great and doesn't do that. Surprise. We all fall short. And that's why we have that confession of sin every week. It may not be every sin or thing, the way that you separate yourself from God, but there's a sense to say, I fall short, and then I long with the help of Jesus Christ to do better. So you got to have them together. I mean, sin is more than just a list of our misdeeds. It's more than just a bad choice or mistake, like, you know, I served the wrong white wine at dinner. It's not like that. For Paul, sin is a force to be reckoned with. It's a focal force that works against God and against humanity. See, sin takes advantage of a person and compels one to act in ways that are contradictory to one's best intentions or best understanding. And sin still has a hold on us today. We have better words for it. We may call it addiction or family history or doing what feels good or wanting immediate response. See, we're entrapped by that. And Paul longs for freedom. Freedom not meaning to do whatever you want to do, but freedom as for a Christian means living the way God intends us to be. I wonder if the truth is we don't like to hear no. I hear people say, I'm not going to come to church because you're going to tell me no a lot. I'm thinking, really? Have you been here lately? Man, you already know a lot of the no's. I think we have to say as a group, we long for more. Because no isn't really a bad word. Really? Yeah. No, don't put your hand in that outlet. Going to be a problem. I mean, I've learned that if I have that little voice that is telling me no, it's usually right. I mean, I do things where I just get clumsy. I'll say, you know, I'll put a vase over here and I say, if I don't move it, I'm going to break it. What do you guess? I don't move it and I break it. Or I know I'm going into a meeting where I'm probably not going to be my best self. Now, if I listen to that and think and ask for God to help me, maybe I'm going to do a little better. It's that awareness that makes a difference. I mean, if we say no to extra servings at dinner, maybe we'll be a little healthier. If we say no to claiming a dubious tax deduction, maybe we'll actually help to have a greater sense of honor and a public sense of duty. You know, the other side of freedom is recognizing it, for there is responsibility. Of being able to say no means in some ways we're able to say yes to God. Okay, really? It's what this passage is like. See, the no is not simply to censure us or to make us feel guilty or have us feel like there is no way we can do any better. Okay, I'm going to age myself. Flip Wilson. Anyone? Okay, no, you're going to have to talk to the old people in this group. He was a comedian who had a character named Geraldine. She was kind of dressed, looked like a church lady, and when she did something bad, what did she say as her excuse? She said, the devil made me do it, and then she'd go and do it anyway. That's not going to work for you. Not going to buy that. Paul's not putting this list so you can say, there is no way I'm ever going to do better, so I'm just going to go boldly into that. No, no, no. See, the no in here is leading us to God's yes. To there is a way out, that there is a way through, that there is delivery from the self that is not of God. I mean, Alcoholic Anonymous people kind of know this. They know when they say, I have absolutely no power, then God can kind of work in them. When they say, I cannot get through this one day, God, you help me through this one day, this one minute, this one hour, that's when God can work. It's awful to think you have to get your lowest to have God help you, but that is true for that group, and I wonder if we can also learn from them. Bruce Reyes Chow, who was moderator of our church and a pastor in this town, reminded me that this passage is not just about the individual. It's not just me separate and you separate. It talks about that we as a religious community are here to be diligent and aware of our brokenness. That's one of the very reasons we gather. But we gather to experience transformation. We gather to those times when we turn more and more away from the sin and towards God. It's ongoing. It's all the time. Because when we as a group begin to work on these things, we can be healthy and self-aware, and maybe we bring hope to the community. It's not just me, it's the whole community, it's our country, working towards God's healing and God's hope. That's why we do this General Assembly stuff. We work together to move us where we might not move by ourselves, but with God's vision. So I invite you to be like Paul, to say, is there help? And you would say, yes, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every day, every hour, we'll say, give me the freedom of the no. Give me the freedom to turn more to God and away from sin. It's an old sermon, but it's one we need to hear, because each of you has in yourself the potential to act like you're Christ's child, to act like you're one of God's. And we don't do this by ourselves. We do it together. So Pam helps me watch my words. And Brian over there reminds me why I was called to be the pastor. And we do this together, friends, knowing that all of us are broken, knowing all of us, though, long for something more, and Christ comes to be our help. May we seek that wholeness of God for this church, for this community, and for the world, and not give up. Not say, okay, it's always going to be this way. No, God can even work with us. May it be so. Amen.